I'm just going to share briefly about receiving a revelation of the Lord Jesus. How to receive a revelation from Him, or a revelation of Him. Go to Luke chapter 24. From verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and open the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word, for this most holy scripture. Father, it's with fear and trembling and with much humility, Lord, that we approach it, to even dare to discuss it, Lord. For your truths here are very deep. Father, may we not speak of what we don't know, but make what we study here, what we look at today just briefly, make it our experience. Make it our experience, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. These two people were on their way to Emmaus. It was their own plan They were going about their own business. Jesus had risen, and the woman had told them, Jesus is risen. We saw angels, they told us he is risen. In other words, those people were going their way, they were in the normal course of their lives. And someone came and brought the word of God to them, brought the gospel to them. They said, listen, Jesus is risen, it's true. It was a correct word, it was a true gospel. But these people didn't believe it. If you believed that Jesus had died and was risen, and you were in Jerusalem, you would not start off walking to another city going to do your own thing. Would you? You'd stay there and say, hey, I also want to see him. If he's risen, he's going to come here. But these people did not believe what the woman said. It was just a word. A word is just a word. You can tell people. But what they need is their own encounter with the Lord Jesus. What people need is their own encounter with the Lord Jesus. You can bring them the good news, and it might be true for you. You know that Jesus saves. You know there is such a thing as salvation. And you can believe it as strongly as this woman believed that Jesus was risen. But you can speak the word, but unless if there is a revelation of the Lord Jesus, people will listen to you and go their way to their own Emmaus. And that's what we see here. They started on their way and they were going. Now Jesus comes and starts to walk with them. How does the revelation begin? It is not that we go to God. It's really the Lord who comes to us. He was the one who first came to them. But the Bible said that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I'm not going to dwell too much on that. But there are things that restrain people from knowing God. They must be broken in prayer. There's the restraining work of Satan. There's the restraining work of the devil. There's the restraining work of their love of sin and their bondages. That prevents them from seeing the Lord. Those must be broken. Jesus must have prayed for these people in order for their eyes to be opened. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? The Bible said they stood still, their faces downcast. They were on the way until God stopped them and they stood still. Only the Lord Jesus, when he comes and encounters a person, can stop them on their way to their lostness, on their way as an unbeliever, or on their way as a purposeless Christian. Only the Lord, an encounter with God, can get them to stop and think. Without an intervention from the Lord, the man will keep going his way. The sinful Christian will keep going his way. The sinful unbeliever will keep going his way. We will keep going our way unless if the Lord came and stopped us. Were you walking on your own path of rebellion? And one day, something stopped you. And you stood still and you started wondering and questioning, is my life right? Is there not something more that I need? Then know that it was not your own doing. It was not that you were so smart that you figured, I've got to stand still and listen. It is that the Lord came to you and got you to stop and start questioning and thinking, They say, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened these days? What things, Jesus asked? Of course, he knew the answer. About Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful indeed and word, in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said to them he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Why was Jesus asking them these questions? I believe, personally, that it is that the Lord was trying to get them to interact with him. He was drawing them to have some intimate time to open their hearts, to open up their hearts to him. And they spoke and spoke and talked to him. A revelation of the Lord Jesus begin at a place of intimacy with him. When a man starts to open his heart up to the Lord, when a man starts having that interaction with him, you ask him, he replies, he asks you, you answer. That's why you need to have your daily dynamic encounters with God, and that's why the book Daily Dynamic Encounters with God is an absolute must for everyone to read and practice. And so they started to tell him what was on their hearts. They spoke and spoke. They said that the woman had gone to the tomb. They saw angels, but that didn't convince them. Him they did not see. Where was Jesus? And today, we can talk to people. We can say to them, this thing happened. This here are the facts of the gospel. But we ought to give them Christ. Him they did not see. You can tell him about this and about that. But if him they do not see, they'll keep walking their own way. The Bible said, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. As they gave the Lord an opportunity to deal with them, as they stood still and gave him time, gave him an opportunity to respond to them, what did Jesus do? He brought them to God's word. Anyone who has known the Lord has had to go through the Bible. I started knowing the Lord Jesus in a most serious way. Sure, I invited him in my life when I was 10 years old. But in many ways we were strangers. I didn't know the character of God. You see, a baby is alive, but a baby does not know his parents. Doesn't know what the parents wants. I was at home and my baby nephew Daniel was there. He kept wanting to go and suck the dirty chair. His grandma and his mother said, no! He'd look at them. Then when they look away, try to do it again, and they shout again, no! And he'll stop for a minute. When they look, he'll go back. He has life, but he does not know the parents. He does not know his authorities. Doesn't know what they want and what they don't want. Now, he's a little bit more obedient to me, but that's another story. What I'm saying is that It's only in 1998, when I first read the Bible from beginning to an end, that I started to know who this God of the Bible is. That I started to know who the Lord God of Israel is. And who this Lord Jesus is. Listen, it was not a shallow dealing that Jesus gave them. The Bible said, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. This was a super long sermon. You see, Jesus can't do this with today's church where people want things quick. Hey, 1 hour of worship, that's way too long. 2 hours of it, what do you guys do? He can't do it with, if we give the Lord 15 minutes in the morning, what we read the Bible kind of quickly and get in the car, start praying in tongues as we drive to work. It can't happen. We must give the Lord time to let us go, to let Him drive us through the Scriptures. That's why every Christian needs to read his Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's not to fulfill activities. It's so that you would know the Lord. And as you draw the Lord, He will draw you to things. He'll start dealing with you. And the Bible says, as He was at the table with them. Now, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if He were going farther. There is a point in which God tests the seriousness of the heart of those who want to know Him and those who are seeking Him. And so Jesus made as if He was distancing Himself. But these people's hearts were right. They knew that this man was giving them the right stuff. He was giving them the Word of God. They were not into shallow dealings. When they saw that this man was speaking the truth and was opening the Scriptures to them, they said, please stay with us. Don't go away. In other words, they were saying, Lord, I want more. I want to go deeper. There is a point where God will open the Bible to you. He will show you the Scriptures. Will show you your sins. And we'll see that. Will show you your sins. He will start opening things to you. Whenever God starts opening the Bible to someone, there will be steps of obedience. And the Lord will ask you, now are you going to go further? Are you going to say, I have had enough. I think I can stop here. I've had enough. I think I can stop here. If these men had stopped there, what a waste it would have been. How much they would have missed the Lord. They had had enough. God had given them the word. It was to them to respond, go deeper and say, no, we want to know more. So He went in to stay with them. Hallelujah. They asked the Lord, stay with us, don't go. And God came in with them. Jesus went with them. God responds to those who seek Him. They had to pray and beg Him to stay. The revelation of the Lord comes. As you see the Bible, God starts showing you the signs of the time. It starts showing you the condition of your life, of your family. And one of the things that will break your heart, it will start showing you the condition of your own heart and of the church. And you're going to have to start praying, saying, Lord, I want more. You're going to have to start saying, Lord, I want it deeper. And the Lord will answer that. The Bible said, He sat with them when he sat at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And we began to give it to them. Encountering the Lord always involves brokenness. He took the bread and he broke it. In any serious dealing with God, the heart of man must be broken and contrite. As you get to know the Lord, He will break you. He will break you. And it was at that table when they were dining and eating with Him. Again, in that condition of intimacy, of having an interaction with Him, of having this interaction with Him, He broke them. How do I know? The Bible says in verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight." God had opened their eyes. People who have encountered the Lord have given Him the time to deal with their hearts, have prayed for more of the Lord, have gone through the Bible, and have allowed that time with God to break them, to break their self, break their hearts, break their sinful nature. I've given them a broken heart. Their eyes are open and they know the Lord. They had seen Him, they had known Him. So their encounter with God had ended. Now, why is it that not so many people know this encounter? It's because of what I mentioned before. Verse 32, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked to us on the road that opened that on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Let me read it again. "Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Their hearts were burning because the scriptures were being opened to them. Your heart burning is not a comfortable thing. What is this referring to? It's referring to what God said to Jeremiah. "Is not my word like fire that burns and a hammer that burns the bones and a hammer that breaks the rocks? Is not my word like a fire that burns the bones and a hammer that breaks the rock?" Many people don't want that word. They want the word that's smooth and makes them happy. They want the word that gives them quote unquote encouragement. There is no encouragement if there is no breaking. God must break a man and must break a woman and bring them to that point of repentance, of brokenness. That point where He burns away the sin. Where the Word of God burns away the sin. Burns away the filth. Burns away those things that were preventing you from seeing the Lord. That were keeping you from seeing Him in His glory and His majesty. He has to burn away those sins. These things that cloud the intimacy with the Lord. He has to burn away those things that are useless but keep you busy from giving the Lord time. And His word is like a hammer that breaks the rock. That breaks the hardened heart. And some of us have parts of our lives that have been hardened over years and years and years. And the hammer of God's word must come down and break it. And sometimes it's painful. But that's the road to knowing Christ. That's the road to knowing Christ. And that is my message this afternoon. It's the road to knowing the Lord. The path to knowing Christ. The path to a revelation to Jesus. Were not our hearts burning within us? When I listen to preachers, or when we did not have a church, I long to hear a minister who, when he speaks, my heart starts to burn. I mean, my heart starts to burn. And things in me start to break. Because there's so much conviction in his preaching. Now when someone comes and starts giving me excuses for my sin. And making me feel happy in my rebellion. The Bible says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. An encounter with Jesus is the only thing that can change the course of a man's life. Before they met Jesus, as we said at the beginning, it was their own plan and their own way to go to Emmaus. They were leading their lives as they chose. They were drifting through their lives and doing their own thing. When they met Jesus, the Bible says at once they got up and went back to Jerusalem. At once. They did not need someone to come and tell them, hey, you guys left Jerusalem, went to Emmaus in your own, following your own desires. Now, go back to Jerusalem. They did not need it. They at once were eager to go back. Now listen, it was not at a time that was advisable to travel. If you look at verse 29, stay with us, it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. It was not good for people to travel at that late hour. But what they had advised this man not to do, not to keep traveling at that late hour, was the very thing that they did. Because the joy of the Lord had come upon them. They had seen Jesus. They had met him. Things were different. And they went over to start telling others about the Christ that they had seen. Notice they weren't going to tell them we saw an angel who told us he was alive. They went back to Jerusalem to tell them we saw him. He appeared to us. Listen, when he broke the bread. In that brokenness. Do you notice that the word of Jesus started with a rebuke to them? Verse 25. How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The Lord may come to you with a rebuke. But you need to give him that time. Allow him to go through the scriptures. Open your heart to it. Submit to that breaking process. Now we as a church have been in this breaking and burning process for a while. And it's producing some good things. But we must go all the way to the end. Until everyone has that revelation of the Lord Jesus. That special revelation of him. Notice, these people knew who Jesus was. They had known him in the flesh. They had some knowledge, some acquaintance with him. But that wasn't enough. They needed to know this risen Savior, glorified and resurrected. There is a knowledge of God that was needed that was more than the basic. They must have known him as the Lord that had appeared to them. I want us to pray. To ask the Lord that this will not be theory for us. But that each one of us will have a genuine encounter with the Lord. Because the spiritual life is a spiritual life is a history of encounters with the Lord. When there are no encounters with the Lord, there is no spiritual history. The deeper the encounters with God, the more profound the walk with God and the spiritual history of a man. Your life is as deep as you have encountered the Lord. And to encounter him, You can know Him as much as you want to, and you can encounter Him as much as you want to, if you give Him the time and the opportunity to open your eyes and show you Himself. Let's pray. Our blessed Father, we pray as a church, open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes, O Lord. Open our eyes, O Lord. Father, we pray. Grant us to know You, O Lord. Grant us to know You, Father. Father, grant us to know You, O Lord. Father, grant us to know You. Give every one of us an encounter with You. Father, we pray that we will put time in our schedules, that we will make time for You, that we'll make time for You, so that we'll know You, so that You'll break us, You'll burn away the sins, break the hardness, give us hearts that can know You, so that You can open our eyes to encounter You. Lord, make this word true in my life. Make this word true in my life. Make this word true in our lives, O Lord, that we may know You, that our generation may have people who have not a second-hand knowledge of You, not a shallow knowledge of You, who are not just mere acquaintances with Jesus, but people to whom Christ has revealed Himself, themselves to at the dinner table. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The words that Jesus speaks to the churches in Revelation. Revelation 3:20. It's spoken to believers, not to non-Christians. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will come in, dine with him and he with me. God is longing to come into the hearts of His children. And be given time to spend with them, to fellowship with them, so that they can know Him and have this intimate knowledge of Him. May the Lord help us to do this. We'll end here. Go on your week. Make knowing the Lord a priority. May God bless you as you seek the Lord. May He bless your time alone with Him. May His word burn sin out of your life. May His word hammer away the hardness. May He shatter what needs to be shattered, that out of that brokenness you may know the Lord. Throughout the week as we pray and gather, may we make knowing the Lord the center. As we prepare to fast and to pray next week, may we keep the Lord first. Guard your time with the Lord jealously. And do not let anything mess with it. It is the one thing that will save our generation. People who know the Lord for real. As we have been saying, not people who go to the demon possessed and say, in the name of this Jesus that Paul preaches. Not the Jesus that we know, but the one that this other man is talking about. The second-hand knowledge of the Lord. Or a past knowledge of the Lord. We cannot feed on what we knew of the Lord 10 years ago or 2 years ago. There must be a fresh revelation of Him. Because again, the spiritual life is the history of a man's encounter with God. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray that You will keep this word in our hearts. Yes, as we go, but increase the hunger for You. Increase the hunger for You. Give us the faith to seek You. Give us the discipline to seek You. Give us the spiritual hard work to give You time to search the Scriptures and to find You. And we confess, Lord, as your word says, that you exist and you reward those who earnestly seek you. That you are alive, as we sang, that you are alive. And you reward those who earnestly seek you. Lord, as we seek you, Lord, we confess that it will not be wasted time, but time that lifts us up to glory. Times that brings us in the prayer closet, into the throne room, where we know you and commune with you. We love you and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.